you know, Brexit has happened now.
Oh, God. Yeah, everything is so different. I forgot. I didn't realize that it had happened.
It's amazing. The thing, my favorite story around Brexit was all the controversy around whether or not Big Ben's bongs would bong when Brexit happened. Because the bongs are switched off at the moment. And they only re-switched them on for certain important events. And everyone said... And Brexit happened at like 11 p.m. one evening.
Right, right.
And everyone wanted the bongs to go. And they couldn't. And they were told it's going to cost like £200,000 or something to do the work required to have them bong.
Right.
And then all this like fundraising, this crowdfunding fundraiser started to try to raise all this money. And it got ridiculous. And there were like front pages of newspapers saying, you know, Big Ben must bong.
Right.
I don't think it did in the end.
I was going to say, did it bong in the end? No, it didn't bong in the end.
No.
Well, I mean, that feels like, I don't know if, I can't remember if I said this or if I didn't say this because I think it's smarter not to say it, but I'm going to say it now because no one's listening and goodbye internet. But I always had like a Brexit escape plan, which is when Brexit's happening, don't be in the country because you just don't know if, not that I would really expect there to be a problem, but I would expect people to be crazy and expect there to be a problem.
Yeah.
But with this thing, I remember trying to assess the, you know, since we've been on this long march of, oh, is Brexit actually happening or is Brexit not happening? Trying to assess, like, what's the thing that's happening at the end of January? And I was like, okay, here's my level of like, but is it really Brexit? Is this the one that I feel like I'll wait this out in Holland, right? And I was like, no, this is not the one where I'm going to wait this out in Holland.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I can tell, it's the, sure, it's official, but actually we still have at least another year before anything
meaningful occurs. We're still essentially in Europe for the next year.
Yeah.
Like you've still got free movement on our passports and things like that. And,
That's right. Because I was flying in on the 31st or the 30th or whatever it was. And I arrived in Heathrow and I was looking around. I was like, oh, all these passport signs are still exactly the same. So nope. Nothing's really changed here.
I'm putting all the pieces in place for my Irish passport now.
Oh, really? Okay.
You're
going to do that?
I think so, yeah. I don't think it's going to do me much good, but it'll just make me feel better. Like I got one over them.
Who were the ones that you got something over in this scenario? I don't understand.
The people who made us leave, like the people who were trying to deny me Europe.
I was thinking about this all backwards. You're getting the Irish passport to retain your access to Europe. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm still a European citizen of Europe. Mm.
I was thinking of it all backwards. Like, oh, you're getting it so that you can stay in the UK. But I think you're pretty solid on that.
No. I'm a British citizen. I've got a British passport, yeah. So anyway, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
This came up in a weird way. The reason I'm even asking you about it is very indirect and weird, but it was an interesting question I heard discussed on a football podcast the other day, which was, if you had 1 hour to dispose of a dead body, how would you do it?
Where am I?
In your apartment in London.
Well, then I'm just I'm just totally is the answer.
You are actually, yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Where I'm going to dispose of it is, I guess I'll just bring it right to the police station and beg for mercy, right? Like, that's where I'm going to dispose of the body. Jesus Christ. You've got a chance out where you are, but I've got nothing to work with.
You've got a lot of CCTV to worry about as well.
Well, like, I'm living in an apartment in the center of London. Yeah. Mm. The most CCTV city on the face of the earth.
You don't have a car.
I don't have a car.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, what's the biggest box I have in my house? Right. Like I just have these little travel suitcases, you know, to put in the overhead.
Yeah.
Bin.
I mean, you would have to cut yours into small pieces, clearly.
Okay. What do I have in terms of cutting implements? I've got some scissors. I've got some butter knives. You know, like we don't do a lot of serious cooking at the Gray household.
Yeah.
I've got nothing. I have no way to dispose of the body. Hell, I just realized there's CCTV just within my own building for security, right? Like I can't even get out my own front door before they're like, what's in that bag? Like, I haven't even made it to the street level.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you've got a fighting chance. You've got options. The car is the main thing, right?
Yeah.
You can pull your car up pretty close to the driveway.
Yeah. And where do I take it?
You bring it to the tip, right? That's what you would do.
You take it to the tip.
Why not? Isn't there a place at the tip where you can dispose of it?
There are too many people at the tip anyway. Right. There's staff at the tip looking at everything you throw and make sure you know, oh no, don't put the bottle in that bin. Don't put cardboard. Oh no, don't put that human head in that bin. That's for cardboard.
Right. That's for human legs, not human heads, silly Billy. Whenever you say the tip, I'm thinking the one that I had the most recent experience of is years and years ago when I was in Hawaii. But their garbage disposal was just like an open pit in a volcano. And it's like, yeah, you can throw a body in there and it's fine. No one will ever, like, there's no staff or anything. So,
yeah.
Because you can get your car close enough to the front of your house that you could get a body in a car and you'd be fine.
Yeah, my neighbors are pretty nosy though. I can think of some that would probably be watching out the window. But if I got it in a big bag, I guess, I don't know.
Or just you waited until, you know, the wee hours of the morning, right? Like you'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's against the spirit of my you've got 1 hour, but yeah, okay.
Oh, you've got 1 hour. Oh, okay, yeah. So it's like, boom, right now, you've got 1 hour. Oh, I didn't realize that. And you also have a radius. What are you going to do? Okay, you get it in the car. Where are you going?
I don't know. It makes me anxious just thinking about it. It's like an anxiety dream.
You don't want to plan ahead for this contingency?
I thought you might have a good answer, though, but it sounds like you've just given up as well.
Well, this is in my situation. I've got no hope. There's no way. There's nothing I can do. That my radius is way too small and it's way too covered. There's just no possibility. But I was like, what this makes me think of is, you know, what's the best thing if you're trying to fall asleep at night and you're like, oh, I'm just going to browse around on the internet for a while. A great thing to start reading about is like unsolved murder mysteries, right? It's like, oh, that's going to put you right to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually kind of shocking how many missing people there are a year and like how many just unsolved cases of murder there are. Like I never really thought about it, but I just got sucked down this real rabbit hole of, you know, how many missing people are reported in the United States or Europe a year. It's like, I forget what the number is. So I don't want to speculate right now, but it was shockingly high. How can people just disappear? And digging into any of these cases, it's always the same thing of like, oh yeah, they were seen on CCTV in this Walmart driving out of the parking lot, and then they were just never seen again and their car was never found. It's like, where are they? Like, what happened? And even the number of cars that are missing, of like, oh, they no one ever found their car. Like, okay, maybe a person, you know, they grow a mustache and they just set up a new life for themselves in Cancun or whatever. But a car is like a hard thing to just disappear and to, you know, never turn up. So, I don't know. I got sucked down this real, like, I can't remember if you told me in person or if it was on the podcast that like the guy found on the beach, what's the name of him?
Yeah.
The Something Man?
The Somerton Man. That's my favorite mystery.
Yeah, I got sucked down to a whole internet full of like Somerton Man style.
Did I get mysteries. You into the Somerton Man?
I was reading up about it.
I'm so pleased. It's such a good mystery, isn't it?
It is a good mystery. I'm going to come down really solidly on the side of it with suicide. I think everything points in that direction. But it is weird. Like, it's a weird.
Do you think it's suicide related to that woman that lived a few streets away and he was like a spurned lover or something?
Maybe.
Yeah. That wouldn't talk about him. Did you read all about her?
Yeah. I would say maybe.
What do you put all that Tamord Shud stuff down to, though?
I don't know. That's the part of it that's it's hard to.
And why no labels? Why were all the labels taken off his clothes? There's good mysteries there, Gray.
Here's the thing. Yes, there are good mysteries.
Yeah.
But am I reading like every unsolved mystery on the internet, and then also reading like the cases of solved mysteries? Here's the thing about mysteries. They're always, once answered, they're much less interesting than you think they are. And the Somerton Man strikes me as an example of, it almost seems like the guy was trying to make a mystery.
Do you think?
It's not nice to say, but like, you know, sometimes people will kill themselves and like their purpose in doing it is that they're like trying to strike out. Like, oh, I'm really going to teach people. Like, they're going to be so sad when I kill myself. And like, it's a horrible thing to do, is like a suicide out of anger.
Yes. I hear you, Gray, but there are aspects of the Somerton Man's death that don't jibe that. The Tamil Chud stuff, for a start, and the book found in the car, but also the labels were taken off all his clothes in the train station locker.
Right, right. Here's the thing. I am not saying like this is a perfectly consistent theory of mine, but it's just I kind of get the feeling of what would be the boring answer to, oh, this person was found on the beach and it's kind of a mystery of who he was. And the most boring version of this is he was a guy who killed himself trying to get back at this lady down the street and also created it, like wanted to have like a dramatic suicide. And one of the ways to try to accomplish that is to imbue his own death with mystery.
Why is she so secretive about it too, though? Why wouldn't she just say, oh yeah, he was a crazy nutter that was obsessed with me?
That I don't know. That I don't know. Like, and that doesn't really fit. But
I told you I went to his grave last time I was in Adelaide, and the place on the beach where he was found. My wife's gotten quite into it as well. So I took her to, it's quite a nice area there. So we were like nearby, and I said, oh, let's walk to the place where they found him. Because it was near where we were staying anyway. And we just found the exact spot. And then the cemetery, he's got like a grave there, you know, the man found on Somerton Beach, his gravestone's there. So we went there as well and had a look.
Did you solve the mystery?
Nah, nothing. Nothing. I'm so pleased that you went and looked into it though. Adelaide, South Australia has good crimes for such a small place.
It's really remarkable how Adelaide is the best at everything that it does, even crime.
We are good at crime. We're famous in Australia for our weird crimes.
Yeah. So I don't like this whole thing about what would you do if you had a body and you had to get rid of it in an hour. It strikes me as interesting because my feeling is like, oh, this is just an impossible problem in the modern world. But then it's also squaring that with there's a lot of missing people, and there's like a surprising number of just mysterious deaths or disappearances and things like the Somerton Man, where it's like, what is the deal with this? Like, how did this, you know, how did this happen? You know, like I got really stuck on this one in America. I mean, this is more understandable because it's from a long time ago. Like it's from the late 70s, but it's called like the Yuba County Five. It's sometimes called like the American Dyatlov Pass. And it's basically five guys who, you know, went to the movies one night and then all turn up dead, like frozen to death in the mountains, like months after they just went out to the movies. And it's like impossible to understand how the situation even occurred. It's like they're way out of their way. They abandoned their car on this road in the middle of nowhere. Some of them obviously survived in like this building that they found. But they like this is a strange situation because one guy found like a ranger station that was packed with food and starved to death over the winter in a building filled with food. And it's like, I can't remember if it's all of them or only some of them were mentally disabled. So there's ways that you can try to piece together, like, how does this make sense? Yeah. But it's all just so strange. Like,
sounds like a good one, Gray. I'm going to look that one up.
Yeah. It's just a weird case that I came across and has a bunch of these details of, you know, there's a witness who happened to get stuck on the same road that night and saw a car full of people. But those people, it doesn't seem like they were the five guys who were missing. It was like a different group of people. So it's like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's so strange. But yeah, it is like, I got sucked down a real rabbit hole all night of like,
what's that one called?
Search for the Yuba County Five. I can send you the Wikipedia link to it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the basics of it. Is like these guys are found way off the beaten track, frozen to death in the mountains. And there's like, there's no reason that they would be there. And their actions, from what people can piece together after their death, are strange. And some of them survived for weeks and weeks and then just starved to death surrounded by food. Like, I don't understand what happened here.
Well, on that bright note...
Sweet dreams, Brady.
Sweet dreams.
Bye.